You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's time to eat.
What are you hungry for?
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Joe Dolan.
Feed me now! I'm starving!
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby! It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. We are presented by DraftKings. Big fan of DraftKings. Primarily because they're the number one reason we're able to bring all of these podcasts your way. Love those of you that take advantage of any of the offers that you ever hear about DraftKings. Obviously, the best place to play fantasy, the best place to place any bets. And I love all of our sponsors, really, including DiGiorno, which I'll tell you about a little bit later in the show. If you're ever missing any of the sponsors, you don't know who they are, they're on my website, rostucker.com. You can email me, ross@rostucker.com. When we post the show on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL or at Ross Tucker Pod, we have that link there. That link will take you to any of our social platforms. It'll also take you to our sponsor page. So if you ever hear us talking about any of the meats or the beer or whatever, and you hear that we have a code or whatever the case might be, just go over to the sponsor tab. We always have discounts for you that I know that you will enjoy. Today is the official start of free agency, peeling back the curtain a little bit. Joe and I are recording this show a little bit early. I may or may not be skiing out west right now while you're listening to this or watching this. So this happens sometimes. Yes, I know there's a lot going on the last couple days with the legal tampering period. There will be a lot of moves made today as free agency officially opens. What we're going to do is we're not going to try to half you know what it, right? I mean, I don't swear at all on my – I don't even say ass on my shows. How about that? We're not going to try to half-ass it. I feel like ass is a swear word, but half-ass isn't. Joe, your thoughts?
You know, that's actually a really good point. I never thought of it that way. Now, Ross, I have had discussions about – the versatility of the S word and how chicken S, bull S, dog S, horse S all means different things. You ever think about that? Like one means cowardly, one means terrible, one means that you're fibbing, you know, it's a very versatile word. You and I can have a language podcast. We'll have to slap the parental advisory on there. Maybe that's the next thing we're going to do, talking about the versatility of that particular curse word, as long as you use the proper modifier. Tom Brawley, obviously y'all know from Fantasy Points, his old football coach used to say, "Brawley, you're slower than whale S," which is a very good one. I love that one. We can talk about that on a future podcast, but that's a versatile curse word. But yes, I agree with you. Half-ass is not at all a curse word.
Funny, because when you first said versatility of the S word, I was going to say, dude, it's not even close to the versatility of the F word. But when the way you described it in terms of all of the different...
You got to modify it right. Yeah,
the different animal poops, that helps me. I've seen...
Oh, by the way, bat S means crazy. So throw another one in there, you know?
Like bat S is crazy.
Yeah.
Chicken S is cowardly.
Yeah.
Bull S is lying.
Yeah.
I feel like dog S and horse S are kind of
the
same
thing. Those are the most similar. Horse S is worse, though. You know, like
how do people try to learn our language? How do people try to learn English? Can you even imagine?
We're pathetic. You know, I'm watching Drive to Survive on Netflix and Toto Wolf is speaking 37 different languages. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm over here. You know, I speak English. Everybody has to speak my language, you know, like it's the hardest language to learn. So it's great for it to be your first language. But also, none of us learn a second language adequately. But anyway, that's there you go.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Like, how do all these other people in other countries, they all know English so well. And yet, like, you know, and we have schools over here where kids take Spanish or whatever since kindergarten, and by the end of high school, they still have no clue how to speak Spanish. How is that possible?
I don't get it. But like, there's the advantage of world dominance. Like, I went on a Mediterranean cruise for my honeymoon, and we went to 7-8 different countries, and the only country where I had to speak a different language was Spain. And fortunately, I know a little Spanish. But the Spaniards are very proud of their languages and they don't want to lose it. But so Barcelona, I had to speak some Spanish. That was the only kind of coastal city where I didn't run into to people who spoke English fluently.
I've never seen whale S.
Well, you got to talk to Brawley about that one.
I've seen horse S. I've seen chicken S. I don't know if I've seen bull S. But I can imagine what that is.
Yeah.
I haven't seen whale S. I would imagine it's a lot and big, but I don't know. It's in the water.
Yeah.
So does it immediately get like liquidy?
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to gross people out here, Ross. Jeez.
All right. Hey, we're getting to what you learned. Stop trying to change the subject, Joe. We're getting to what you learned this year from fantasy football. And can I ask you this? Because we do this almost every year.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have John Hansen on and we have other people and they say the lessons they learned. My question is this. What are people really going to get from this? Are they going to remember this 5 months from now in August or 6 months, whatever that is, 5 months from now in August when they're drafting? Are they going to remember this? Do you guys go back and look at what you learned in the previous years so that you don't make the same mistakes? Or is this just hashtag content?
So I think number one, you raise an interesting point. How are people going to remember this? And I think the number one lesson learned from this year, I think people are going to remember because the market is going to dictate that they have to remember that because of ADP and where guys are being drafted. Our guy, Ryan Heath at fantasypoints.com, who, Ross, you call me a young star. No. This guy's a young star. He's fresh out of college, and he's doing advanced fantasy football statistical analysis. And he kind of built this on analysis that Scott Barrett has done years ago. Scott Barrett basically termed a league winner. We throw that term around willy-nilly. He was a league winner. Like, Kyren Williams was a league winner. Well, he kind of was, and I'm going to get to that. Scott Barrett defined that as a player who was on over 55% of playoff teams in ESPN leagues. And we're going to define playoff because, like, the best fantasy football teams are going to make the playoffs. One bad week can ruin you in the playoffs. You well know that. But if you get 10 teams to the playoffs, you probably have a good shot of winning a handful of leagues. So he defines a league winner as a player who is on a playoff team in over 55% of ESPN leagues. So basically, if that player, that one player, was on a team in your league, more chances than not, he was on a playoff team. In 2023, the only running back who was drafted in the first three rounds who qualified as a league winner was Christian McCaffrey. That was it. So Ryan Heath has determined that the early round running back has kind of died for fantasy football. And that coincides with the fact that the early round wide receivers are on a boom. Having a top three starter at wide receiver was more valuable than a top three starter at running back for the first time since 2015 in 2023. So that's bearing out right now in early best ball draft markets. So far, just four running backs compared to eight wide receivers carry first round ADPs. Those four running backs are obviously McCaffrey. Number two might surprise you, Ross. It's Breece Hall. Because people saw how he ended the season and are like, well, the quarterback position, they have, I don't know what the Jets are going to do. At this point, they might have signed a veteran. They have to tell Aaron, at some point, Aaron Rodgers, like, look, we've already given the franchise to you. Let us sign a veteran backup quarterback in case you get hurt again so we don't have to deal with that crap again. Anyway, they might have done that already.
and they look at Breece Hall the way he ended the season, the fact that he started the season coming off an injury, and people are really excited about him. Bijan Robinson, people are back in. He's carrying a first-round ADP right now, and Jahmyr Gibbs. So it's Christian McCaffrey and a bunch of young guys. But there's 8 wide receivers going in the first round, and it is really hard to argue against that. The proportion, according to Ryan Heath, of league-winning wide receivers has steadily grown over the past several seasons. Again, wide receivers who appear on over 55% of playoff rosters in ESPN leagues, and all but one of those receivers who appeared on those rosters was drafted in the first 5 rounds this past season. Tyreek Hill was a league winner. CeeDee Lamb was a league winner. AJ Brown was a league winner. Amon-Ra St. Brown was a league winner. Keenan Allen was a league winner. And Stephon Diggs, believe it or not, was a league winner. Even though he ended the year very slowly, his production early in the season was excellent. The only one of those receivers who was not drafted in the first 5 rounds in fantasy football who qualified as a league winner was Puka Nacua. So, I feel like, and this is bearing out, I just feel like wide receivers are an easier position to predict their dominance than running backs at this point. And the value of the late round running back, the Kyren Williams and all that, those guys coming off the waiver wire, it allows you to kind of focus your attention. So let me kind of circle this back here, Ross. Are you following along, by the way?
Yeah, I have one question, though.
Sure.
I want to make sure I have this right. As people know, I take notes sometimes during the show, really a lot of times, because A, I like to learn, and B, you know, we post the clips on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, at Ross Tucker Pod. Joe usually reposts them, at FG underscore Dolan. You said early round wide receivers were more valuable than early round running backs. Did you say first time ever or since 2013?
Since 2015.
But why would that have been the case in 2015? Like that's the part I think that surprises me.
So
that it's like that, like I would think we're going in the opposite direction. I would not have thought that was the case in 2015.
Yeah, so I'm without knowing 100% what exactly happened in that year without looking back, I'm going to guess that there was a lot of running back injuries that year. But here's the thing is, the running back position is still incredibly valuable for fantasy. And, you know, Scott Barrett has always said this. The bell cow running back is the single most important because they catch the ball, they run the ball. Those teams tend to score a lot of points. And really, we've actually done a good job in the past of drafting early round running backs. From 27 to 2022, 17 of the 31 league-winning running backs. Again, defining a league-winning running back as being a player who was on 55% or more of playoff rosters in the ESPN leagues. The 17 of those 31 were drafted in the first 3 rounds of fantasy drafts. So we had done a good job identifying those. But in 2023, Christian McCaffrey was the only one who carried a first 3-round ADP who qualified as a league winner. The other running backs who qualified as such were Travis Etienne, Alvin Kamara, Raheem Mostert, and Kyren Williams. Etienne was the only one of those guys who was going in the first 8 rounds of drafts. So basically,
Kyren Williams was going that low. That seems so strange to me now, but
yeah, of course, yeah. So Kyren was in a lot of leagues was going undrafted. Now, if you're doing best ball, if you do like DraftKings best ball or
who was the other Rams running back?
Cam Akers. Yeah, Cam Akers. But I actually ended up drafting a good bit of Kyren because, again, I talk about how Sean McVay's a running back geyser. You know, he goes on a fling with one, and it's fun for a little bit, and then he goes on to the next one. That's why I drafted a lot of Kyren Williams. But Kyren Williams in, like, your standard ESPN and Yahoo leagues, he was going undrafted. Kyren Williams was a week one kind of pick him up off the waiver wire kind of guy. And that leads me to another point. And this is always going to be a Dolan lesson learned, and there's going to be exceptions to all of these. But it shocks me. It stuns me. How many people will ask me on like Twitter or in our subscriber Discord at fantasypoints.com? It's week 11. And, oh, this kind of mediocre, you know, Keaton Mitchell's out there on the waiver wire, Joe. You know, I need a running back who can get me 10 carries this week. How much of my 65 fab dollars should I use on him? And the point is not to try to assign the number of fab dollars you should use on that player. My point is, how do you have 65 fab dollars left in week 11 of a fantasy football season? My point here is, and I want people to remember this because I'm going to bring it up early next season. There will always be exceptions. The Amon-Ra St. Brown as a rookie, you know, he didn't emerge till the second half of his rookie season. It does happen. But look at the guys who emerged early in the first 2 or 3 weeks of this past fantasy football season who truly became league-winning assets. As a matter of fact, you can argue the two biggest ones emerged in week one, both on the Rams, Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua. It would anybody who blew all 100 of their fab dollars, I mean, presuming you're in a league where you can make moves without fab dollars, some high-stakes leagues don't let you, so there's always exceptions there. Would anybody who spent all 100 of their fab dollars to get those two players been upset about it, Ross? Oh, no. Man, I'm really pissed off. I don't have a two fab dollars to pick up a defense. No, because Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua carried you to your fantasy playoffs. So this is a roundabout way of saying is I am spend your fab aggressively. Doesn't mean you drop 100 of it in week one, but $60-$70 of it? Yes, do that. Because the chances are that the true league winners are going to emerge early in the season. Because we have all off-season for takes. You know, we got all training camp and all preseason. I know teams practice less than ever before. I know teams play fewer preseason games than ever before. And the ones who do play in the preseason might not play their starters at all. I understand all that is different. But the fact of the matter remains that the coaches in that building have spent far more time with their players and personnel than we, the fantasy football players, have. And if one of those players is playing more in week one, significantly more in week one than we thought they would, and they're producing, chances are the coaches knew something that we didn't. There's always going to be the Artie Smith. There's always going to be the Arthur Smith where we're yelling at him, why are you using Jonnu Smith over Kyle Pitts? There's always going to be, you know, guys like when Nick Sirianni and the Eagles were using Kenny Gainwell over DeAndre Swift, where the fantasy player ends up being right. But oftentimes, a coach coming out using Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua early in the season, week one, week two, week three, they know more than we do. So fab budget money, this is just one that I will stand by forever. Fab budget money is best spent early in the season because coaches are revealing things to us and they are doing things because they think it's the right thing for their team. Not because of an injury, not because of, this guy got suspended or something like that. They are telling us we're coming out in week one using Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua because we think these two players are two of the best players on this team.
Whether you're hosting game day or movie night, DiGiorno knows that planning a watch party on a budget isn't easy. You need the perfect setting, the perfect squad, and the perfect eats. Luckily, you're a game time mastermind, and you know that grabbing DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza can bring home a dub because it's packed with half a pound of cheese, sauce, other toppings, comes at an incredible price. Make the game-winning call. Grab a DiGiorno Classic Crust Pizza from the grocery store today. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. So, okay, what I'm taking away so far, Joe, is we're drafting receivers early, not running backs. Yeah. We're using our fab aggressively. What about, though, like, how do we get the Kyren Williams or the Mostert? Like, are there any tips for getting the league winner later in the draft?
So, yeah, and Ross, like, here's one thing I'll end up saying here. Try to identify good offenses. Now, look, there's going to be an offense like this with the Houston Texans, for instance. Houston was like the dead nuts fantasy football offense in 2023 because they were way better than anybody anticipated. And if sports were 100% predictable, we wouldn't watch them. The story of a CJ Stroud is why we like watching sports. I cannot tell you. Now, I drafted a good bit of Nico Collins, but I drafted a good bit of Nico Collins because, well, I'm like, well, the Texans offense is going to stink and CJ Stroud has to throw it to somebody. So I was on him for the wrong reasons. Those things are always going to happen. But, I mean, in hindsight, how easy was it to identify Devon Achan and Raheem Mostert? It's a Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan offense, man. Like, they run the ball. They run it well. We've seen it already. Now, we know Raheem Mostert, and of course, Raheem Mostert saved his yearly injury for week 17 and screwed people, but look, he had a great year. Led the NFL in touchdowns. How easy was that to identify? Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, if I take Achan, is Mostert going to start? Is Jeff Wilson going to, who, by the way, ended up getting hurt in training camp, and the Dolphin beat reporters just, like, never really brought it up. That was a big problem. But Jeff Wilson, you know, does it matter? These guys were 10th, 11th round picks. Like, oh, God, I was wrong on my 10th round pick. That's not going to hurt you. But the chance that you're right on your 10th round pick is way, way more important than missing on a 10th round pick. So take a guy in a good offense like that. Why take a fourth wide receiver on a mediocre offense when you can maybe get the top running back on a great offense? That's why zero RB, Sean Siegel's obviously magnum opus that won him a lot of money all those years ago, still stands out as viable, maybe more so than ever to me, because there's always going to be those sixth, seventh, eighth, even beyond round running backs who are going to be in good offenses who might end up becoming a bell cow. And when in the case of Achan and Mostert, both of those guys were successful fantasy football options on the same offense. Kyren Williams, we know Sean McVay uses bell cow running backs. Now, the problem is, and why people struggle to draft Rams running backs, is he uses them and abuses them and moves on. Todd Gurley, CJ Anderson, Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson. All these guys have had years where they were a bell cow and then they moved on from them. Sony Michel had a couple of snaps. But does it matter? It doesn't matter. Like, for instance, maybe the Rams are going to draft a running back on day two this year, and it's going to scare people off of Kyren Williams. Well, look, I already just benefited from Kyren Williams being Sean McVay's bell cow. So try to identify these backs in good offenses who have an opportunity to emerge. And if you load up on wide receiver early, and this is the whole crux of the thing. If you load up on wide receiver early, maybe you get your early round quarterback. You get a Patrick Mahomes or a Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts or somebody like that. And you have five great wide receivers around them. Well, that reduces your need to draft wide receivers later. And you can just take the shotgun approach to running backs and say, I'm going to take seven of them and hope that two of them work out. That's the whole crux. You're not going to nail those picks. But if you spread it around and say, all right, this could be a pretty good offense, that could be a pretty good offense. You know, this offense, I don't know about that starter. That starter is really not standing out to me as a solid option. And then you take his backup. Those are all things that contribute to drafting winning fantasy football teams. And the numbers, as Ryan Heath pointed out on fantasypoints.com in his article that I've been referencing, which is Fantasy Football Key Takeaways, the math backs it up. The math backs it up that drafting wide receivers early and drafting running backs later produced winning fantasy football teams this year.
Absolutely love it, Joe. Is there any one more nugget that we should know about?
The late round quarterback strategy has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit, but the only early round quarterbacks who really hit this year were Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts. You know, Patrick Mahomes was not great for, I know how great he is, but he wasn't great for fantasy this year. Justin Herbert was kind of a bust this year. Joe Burrow was obviously a bust this year. So it's kind of the middle round quarterbacks who are standing out. The quarterbacks in good offenses who nobody wants to draft because they don't run. Dak Prescott, you know, Brock Purdy actually was a late round quarterback winner this year. Those are going to be the guys who I think this year you want to focus on at the quarterback position, those kind of middle round quarterbacks.
Make sure you check him out on social media. Obviously, he's excellent at FG_Dolan, the great Joe Dolan. He comes to us from fantasypoints.com, where you need to use that code 24FEAST. To get the discount on all of this information, because it is absolutely fantastic. You can always follow me at Ross Tucker NFL or us at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that check us out now, either on social or on YouTube, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. Remember, next week, we know there's a lot of reports out there. A week from today, we're diving into where these guys have signed. The first wave of free agency, the first week, we will be all over it. Wednesday, March 20th, right here on the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Other than that, I'm stuffed. We're done.
Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Feast. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.